Welcome to Where the Rubber Meets the Road with Pastor A.J. Warner, brought to you by His Will Ministry. Our aim is to encourage you in the Word of God and to bring pastors anointed teaching and to show you the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Let us know how the Lord is using this program to bless you. We pray that you will draw nearer to the Lord through pastors teaching and preaching, and that you will build up in the body of Christ. This radio program is only one of our many outreaches. We appreciate the opportunity to encourage you in your walk with Jesus. To learn more about His Will Ministry, visit us on the World Wide Web at HisWillMinistry.org.
Who do we fear? Do we fear man more than God? Because I'll tell you what, people, if we fear man more than God, we're in trouble. Because it's already coming in this country. We have had over 200 years of religious freedom, and we don't have it anymore. We are starting to face religious persecution. It's bad enough when you move the Ten Commandments, but then you fire the man that stood for them. That's religious persecution. Casper has had the Ten Commandments in a park for, since what, the 50s. No one's ever noticed or cared. One little letter from a lady back east that wasn't ignored, and all of a sudden the whole world now wants those Ten Commandments moved. Not only that, then we get the hate preacher come in wanting his own monument. Do we come and stand up? Is there 10,000 Christians around those Ten Commandments saying, "We dare you before God to move them"? Our God is powerful, He is faithful, and we dare you to move Him, He will strike you dead, and believe it? No. There's almost been no protest. The biggest protest in Casper has been moving them to their little constitutional park. People don't want to. They just want to get rid of them. We don't fear the Lord like we should. We don't stand up for right. We don't even stand up for mediocre. If we did, this world, this country, would be a different place. We started out, and I'm not talking politics. I'm talking human beings. We started out with a president who was a man of God that surrounded himself with people that would pray for him and he could pray with. Now, I don't even know if the man still does that after being in office as long as he has, because I haven't heard one word about that. But if you look at some of the things the president has done towards Israel, that's not the man of God that started in the office. Because when he started in that office, he was behind Israel 100% because he knew Bible prophecy. And he knew whatever country ever protected God's people was protected by God. And whatever country went against God's people was not protected by God. I'm not talking politics. I'm talking man. I'm talking a man. How often do we pray for that man? I mean pray. How often are we on our faces, on our knees, saying, "Lord, protect him. Angels around him. Give him wisdom"? Because the Bible tells us very plain and clear, pray for your leaders. Because I've put them there. I.e., people that we didn't like are there for God's purpose, whatever it may be. And we're supposed to pray that God can get to them and, excuse me, use them for His purpose. But see, we don't fear God enough to do that anymore. We get up in the morning, we turn on our news, we watch the news where, oh, they took the Ten Commandments out of another place. We say, "Oh, darn shucky, we should have said something," and we go on down the road. Not one Christian that I know of is the least bit worried that Canada is trying to finish the passage of a law that makes it illegal to call homosexuality a sin. It makes it illegal to call bestiality a sin. It makes it illegal to call a pedophile a sinner. And not one Christian I know seems to be that worried about it. That's our neighbors. It's not long, people. I want to show you some blessings. I want to show you some blessings that we get. Let's look at Proverbs 10:27. We look at Solomon, he's the wisest man ever, and yet even he had an ability to take his eyes off of God, and when he did, he had problems, didn't he? 10:27, Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. You know, one of my favorite old evangelists, and I guess part of the reason I love him is because he's never been built up. Most people hardly have heard of him except in stories. Is Smith Wigglesworth. Smith Wigglesworth lived to 87 years old. And one week before he died, he was still receiving calls from around the world to have Smith Wigglesworth preach. And one day there was a young man who was his neighbor that grew up with him sitting in his living room. And he got a bunch of mail, and there was a request from Europe, there was a request from Asia, there was a request from Australia, all wanting Smith Wigglesworth to come preach. And he broke down and started crying. And the young man said, "Why are you crying?" And he said, "Because they want me. They don't want Jesus." See, that's the way we have to be. I don't want the world to want to hear me. I want the world to want to hear Jesus. He died at 87 years old. 10 years passed where he should have. And you know why 10 years? 10 years to the week? Well, 15 years to the week before that, he had prayed to the Lord, "Give me 15 years more, Lord. Just give me 15 years more, Lord, to preach your gospel." And the week before, when those letters came in, that young man was sitting there after he finished crying. He told that young man he was going home. And the young man didn't know about his request. And he said, "Why?" And he said, "Because 15 years ago I asked God for 15 more years, and it's coming up this week." And he walked from his house to a funeral of a friend, got into the foyer, and died. Just like that. And I don't know if they're true or not, but the reports are that the autopsy on his body, the doctor said, they'd never seen anyone in that good of health at that age. It says right here, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. You want a long, fruitful life? You fear the Lord. Let's look at 14:2, Proverbs 14:2. We're going to kind of skim through Proverbs, so we'll be pretty well in the same place for a little bit. He that walketh in uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despise him. Is that where I want to be? 14:2. If we fear the Lord, what's going to happen automatically? We're going to what? We're going to walk upright in righteousness, aren't we? We won't have to worry about it. We won't have to worry about evil. We'll go on to the next one, 16:6. We'll just kind of roll through Proverbs here and see what he says here in 16, verse 6. If my Bible has it, aha, there it is! By mercy and truth, iniquity are purged. By the fear of the Lord, man departs from evil. If we fear the Lord, we're going to be what? We're not going to do anything evil, are we? Because the fear of the Lord is going to keep us from doing evil things. By the fear of the Lord, man departs from evil. You want to know why this world's so evil? It doesn't fear God anymore. I mean, I can't see how you can fear God when you can stand up in front of thousands of people and tell them flat out, Holy Spirit's doing a new thing. He wants to accept this abomination. You know, wasn't it? It was in Canada, that church, wasn't it? That they, in Canada, an Episcopalian church, the parishioners had the fear of God, and they put a sit in. They all came into the church and said, "That's it. We disagree with this. We are not going to allow this church to do this type of thing. We are going to protest, and we are going to stay in this building until they repent." You know what happened to them? The local parish priest called the police and had them forcefully removed out of the building. Don't tell me persecution isn't on the way, people. Those people showed a holy fear of the Lord, and they said, "We've had enough. We will not allow you to stand with this organization that says they believe this." And they were kicked out because the organization owned the building. Forcibly. They didn't just leave peaceably. They were dragged out in handcuffs and treated like common criminals for standing up for God. But evil departed from them. They weren't the ones doing the evil. God was up there, I'm sure, with the big smile on His face saying, "See, there's a few left that fear me. A few left that love me." Let's go on down. Let's look at, I love Proverbs. There's two more in Proverbs that I really love. But let's look at 19:23. I didn't even realize these are in order here, but chapter 19, verse 23. "And the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that have it shall abide satisfied, and shall not be visited by evil." Now, this gives you three, the next two give you three specific promises. And I'm going to tell you right now, this is the Word of God. It is 100% true, and if it's written in here, it will happen. Okay? It's not it might happen, it will happen. This is the Word of God. And if you cannot stand on this Word, cannot believe it 100%, cannot follow it with everything that's in you, don't even open it. You have to understand, my God is not a liar. He speaks the truth, the absolute truth, and what He says will happen. And He says right here, "The fear of the Lord tendeth to life." The Hebrew word here means health. "The fear of the Lord tendeth to life. He that have it shall abide satisfied." You know what that means? That means you're going to go to bed at night and you're going to sleep well. That's what that means right there. You're going to have a peaceful rest. When you sleep, when you rest, it's going to be peaceful because you fear the Lord. But look at the third promise. "He shall not be visited with evil." How many times have we seen people in the church devastated by the devil? And we go, "What's going on, Lord?" There's the answer. The fear of the Lord. The holy, humble fear of the Lord. It gives you long life. It gives you a good night's sleep. And it protects you from evil. And if you don't believe that, then you don't believe God. Here it is. It's written. It is written, therefore it is. Not it might be. It is. If it's in this book, it is. You want your life protected from evil? Get on your face and supplicate before the Lord and show Him you fear Him. Give Him what is His. You don't own your life. If you gave your life to Jesus, you don't own it anymore. It is not yours to do with what you want. You could do anything you wanted with it. You could go to the bars. You could be a pervert. You could do anything you wanted prior to giving it to God. But the moment you said, "Jesus is my Savior," you don't own it. It is not yours. It is His property. You exchanged it for eternal life. And the moment you did that, you better start fearing the Lord. And if you want long life, you want a good night's rest, and you want to be saved from evil, doesn't it ever make you wonder? You see all these Christians that fall away? All these Christians that are struggling so horribly in their lives? You know, in the Old Testament times, the verse I started with, Acts 9:31 said what? It said they were in comfort. They were in rest. They were in peace, walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Spirit. That's what God wants for Christians. We screw it up. He doesn't. We do. And if you blame Him, then you really don't fear Him. If you go, "Why me, Lord? Why'd you do that?" He's liable to come down and say, I didn't. And he's done that to me a couple of times. A couple of times in my life I've said, why me, Lord? And he's just basically looked down and said, why not? What do you say to God when he tells you that? You say, oops, I'm sorry, you're the Lord God Almighty and you're the one in control. But look at the next promise. Verse 22. Psalms 22 or 20, hang on. 20 or 22, it should be 20, yep, 22 verse 4. I love this one. If you got a New King James, if you got the New International, it'll say the reward of. That's what the Hebrew here means, the reward of. If you've got the King James, verse 4 says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. That's a promise, people. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. I'm sorry, I don't care what you say, you can't convince me God wants Christians to be poor paupers that can't pay the bills. You find it in the Bible. Show me. Show me in the New Testament, the Old Testament, where it says God wants us to be a poor, pitiful people that work 8 to 5, 6 days a week, and can't pay our bills. Show it to me. And I'll believe it. It's not in there. Malachi chapter 3 says, you rob me. How do I rob you, Lord? You rob me in tithes and offerings. And what did he say there, though? Test me in this. Come on, if God wasn't planning on blessing us, he wouldn't say, test me in this. Test me in this. Only place he tells me, test me. Only place he's ever told me, test me in this. You can't outgive God in any way. You can't outgive him financially. You can't outgive him with your time. You can't outgive him with your ability to love him. Because God is so much bigger than you and I. Think about it. God is omnipresent, omnipowerful, omniscient. God is so much bigger than you and I. The many resources that you and I have to give to God, he has unlimited resources to give back. There was a book one time written called Divine Revelation of Heaven. And I'm not going to say it was an actual revelation of heaven or not. I haven't found anything in it that's against God or against the Bible. But one of the things the woman wrote about was she was shown this gigantic, basically, room or storehouse. And she's like, well, what's that? She was talking to the Lord. What's that? And they opened it up. And inside this was arms, legs, eyes, everything. Everything you could think of. And she was so taken aback, you know. What is this, the body parts of the saint? She didn't say that, but I'm sure that's what she thought for a moment. And she asked Jesus, what is this? And you know what Jesus said to her in that vision she had? He said, these are the blessings that are just waiting to be poured out that they won't ask. How much do we limit our God? He tells us the fear of the Lord, the reward for humility and the fear of the Lord is riches, honor, and life. The Hebrew there means, I hate to say this, I'm the bearer of good news here. The Hebrew there means wealth. There is no way to misinterpret it. It means wealth. Honor means exactly that. Honor from the Lord. Not man, means honor from the Lord. And life there, the Hebrew word for life there means health. Healing and health. So God is telling you, you have a righteous fear of me. And what are you going to do with your life if you have a righteous fear of him? What are you going to do with it? You're going to serve him with every part of you. You're not going to complain that you have to be down here at the church cleaning. You're not going to complain that you have to drive 500 miles to baptize a couple of people. You're going to say, thy will be done. You are my Lord, and I'll go do that because I know you're in charge. He says in the verse before we just studied, you're going to have health, you're going to have a good night's sleep, and evil's going to depart from you. It's not going to bother you. Well, why are you going to have a good night's sleep? Because you fear the Lord, you don't fear man. You're not going to lay down in your bed at night and you're not going to think, Bobby's paycheck hasn't come in yet and the bill on the truck's due tomorrow. I'll tell you, this is me personally, okay? I my wife worries about the kids and God took her away from that. I worry about everything else. And it's a sin. Worrying is a sin, okay? I'm a sinner. But I'm fasting away here. And all of a sudden I start worrying because these bills are coming in and the checks haven't. And I'm like, oh, I know I shouldn't worry, Lord. But, you know, Lord, no, I shouldn't worry. Oh, but, Lord, then we have a hand of ours who sends in a bunch of invoices, which I hadn't paid him for because he never gave them to us. He called me up and says, how come I haven't been paid? I said, because he hadn't shown me anything. All of a sudden, he has to go back to work. Well, you know how the little devil works. He puts in the back of my mind, oh, he's not going to come back to work because you haven't paid him. Well, then my mind goes, oh, well, if I can't pay him, what am I? This is how we are as humans. Well, how good God is. Okay? That morning, every one of the verses I've got, every one of the devotions I got, everything I got said, fear the Lord, I can abundantly bless you. Right? Well, the hand called in. See, he walked in the door. He called in and said, I'm ready to come back to work. When do I need to be there? Then, the next morning, we had one invoice out well over 30 days that the company had lost. I emailed it in Thursday, got a note Thursday at 5:30 that it was paid. Now, if that ain't God, excuse my English, what is? See, that's how God works with those that fear Him. He gives them a good night's sleep. He gives them protection from evil. He gives them long life. But you know who our example is? Let's look at Isaiah. Isaiah gives us the example that you and I need to follow. Isaiah chapter 11. You see, God showed me this the other day, and it really startled me. I had to pray about this because I was like, really, Lord? I never thought about this. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. David. A branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the Spirit of counsel, and the Spirit of might and knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. And shall make him quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. Wait a minute. Who's this talking about? This is Isaiah talking about the branch that shall come out of the root of Jesse, which is who? This is God's Son. This is a prophecy of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I always thought, hey, you know, Jesus hung on the cross, but let's be real here. He had the power to just zap everybody and come down off the cross. But think what it says here. He didn't because he feared the Lord. That's why every time when Jesus walked the face of the earth, he said, if you have heard me, you've heard the one that sent me. You have seen me, you've seen the one that sent me. I do nothing except what he lets me do. Why? I always thought, oh, it's pure love. He just loved his Father so much and he just loved us, but it was love and fear of his Father. A reverent fear. Now I'm not saying Jesus was afraid God was going to zap him and kill him. When I was a teenager, I had a good dad. I loved my dad, but I feared my dad. And as I grew up, my dad stopped about here and I kept going. And when I was a teenager, I was pretty rowdy. And one day, my dad and I were out of the garage, and I got my car fixed. I had new tires or rotate, something to do with the tires. Dad said, well, go take it for a test drive. I got a mile down the road, and the wheel fell off. They forgot to tighten the lug nuts. Well, praise God, I'm still here, obviously. But now, you can picture this 16-year-old, 17-year-old kid having to walk a mile in the wintertime. It didn't calm me down. By the time I got back to that garage, I was red-faced, raging mad. Well, you know, the first person I run into, my dad saw me coming. He looked out the window and he saw me coming. And I walked through that door and we were nose to chest, so to speak. And I was ranting. Oh, I was ranting and raving. And my dad just looked at me and said, "Shut up and go back to the car. I'll take care of it." And I started to say something and he looked at me with that look. And I turned around and I walked back to that car. That's the fear that Jesus had of his Father. It isn't a fear that my dad could beat me up. I was 16 years old versus 50 years old. I could have taken my dad on. But I never, ever would have thought about doing it. And that's the fear Jesus had. Jesus loved his Father so much that he had that fear that he would never, ever take him on. He would not do anything that he knew his dad didn't want him to do. And that's what he wants out of you and I. Fear of the Lord doesn't mean we grovel around on the ground and every time we make a mistake we fall down expecting to be dead because God could zap us. Fear of the Lord means that we love our Father so much that we do just like the license plate on our Jeep. WWJD. What would Jesus do? That's what the fear of the Lord means. Every situation in our life, that should go through our head. How would Jesus handle this? How would God handle this? And then the third question should be, how can I glorify the Father through this? Did you notice about Jesus? What did Jesus do? Everything Jesus did was for one point, to glorify His Father. As I said, once you take on Christian in your name, that's your goal in life. Yes, you may fall, you may make mistakes, you have to grow. But you need to learn, and I need to learn, and every Christian that walks on the face of this world needs to learn a humble fear of God. If they had it, like I said, there would have been 100,000 people around that courthouse because they wouldn't have feared man. They wouldn't have feared what their bosses thought of them. They wouldn't have feared what the neighbors thought of them. They would have known that, hey, I got to fear Him. My favorite one is my wife always used to pick on me when I was a younger Christian, and she'll tell you, that wasn't very long ago. But I used to refer to God as the big kahuna. Jokingly. But think about it. That is so disrespectful. So horribly disrespectful. He is the big Father. Because that's what the word kahuna means, Father. But still, He is our Father. The Almighty God. It's awesome to me when I think about it that even the little fingerprints on my hands are different from Tara's, are different from yours, are different from hers. How much must God have done? I mean, think of just that. Don't think of the universe, but just that. The amount of power in God to make, what is it now, 6.5 billion different sets of fingerprints? I mean, there's 6.5 billion people, plus or minus, in this world, and you won't find one duplicate. I tell you this, that you can put the biggest computer in the world on it, and the biggest computer cannot come up with 6.5 billion individual different patterns. It's impossible. But God did it, and yet we don't fear Him.
Thanks for tuning in to Where the Rubber Meets the Road with Pastor A.J. Warner, our senior pastor at His Will Ministry, a ministry that is dedicated to preaching the gospel, healing the sick, helping the needy, visiting the imprisoned, feeding the hungry, and going forth to do the work that God has called us to do. To learn more about our ministry, you can visit us online at HisWillMinistry.org or write us at Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming 82941. I pray that you were blessed by today's broadcast and that you will seek God's will in your lives. God bless you. Good night.